Hi, my name is Dr. Zoe Jacobs and I'm an ocean scientist at the National Oceanography Centre. Welcome to our Early Career Scientist podcast. So I'm here today with Sarah Taylor, one of NOC's early career scientists, and we're going to discuss her path to becoming an environmental economist. Hi Sarah, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you doing, Zoe?
I'm really good, thanks. Good. So first of all, I really wanted to talk to you about your route to becoming an environmental economist. I personally had quite a convoluted route to becoming an ocean modeller. So I'd love to hear about how you ended up getting into this area.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think initially my degree was quite heavily rooted in mainstream economics. And I studied in South Africa. And at the time, there wasn't a lot of scope to get specialized pretty early on. So in my third year of my degree, I decided to try and seek out more modules around developmental economics and environmental economics. And I just found myself naturally gravitating towards that kind of applied economics. I liked seeing the outcome of the research and the theory rather than just, yeah, sticking to the theory itself. So it was really lovely to be able to find that I excelled more in those classes because of seeing the direct application to real world challenges, which was really lovely. And yeah, I just loved the more interdisciplinary approach to the research and how I could see it would be a really good link to link the research to policy and start looking at that bridge. At the time, I didn't realize it would be coined later on, like bridging the gap between science and policy. So I'm really glad I got into it.
Yeah, we hear that quite a lot, actually, bridging that gap between scientists and getting into the more kind of nature-based solutions and getting it all into policy. So your degree was in economics.
Yes.
And then was there a defining moment when you decided to move into more marine or environmental economics?
Yeah, so I decided towards the end of my degree to dual major with mathematical statistics. It's quite a mouthful. But I wanted to be able to have a quantitative approach to this type of research too. I think I understood also from like a policymaker's point of view, it's quite important to have numbers to this kind of research. And I also felt that I wanted to get more into understanding food security. So that was something when I was traveling after university, I was working on farms and I thought it would be really interesting to get into understanding food systems from an economic and policy point of view. So, and I thought it would be all land-based and I'd have to, you know, stick to agriculture. And along came Mike Roberts, who, for listeners who don't know, he's a really cool, crazy scientist here at NOC. And he also has one foot still in South Africa. He's a South African and he's a professor at a university in South Africa. So I luckily was introduced to him and we were supposed to have a 30-minute quick conversation about my potential master's research. And it suddenly turned into this 2-hour-long conversation, as you know. With Mike.
Yes.
We were just getting into it and having so much fun. And he successfully convinced me that I needed to do marine food security, which was wonderful because at the time, I thought it would have to be all land-based research. And I've always had such a passion for the ocean. And I thought this was fantastic, but also terrifying because there wasn't a lot of literature out there at the time and this move towards marine food security. But I think that was really great too, to be part of like the wave, you know, me and my friends, the wave of new research towards like applying economics to the marine space. So it's been a challenge, but it's been a really great challenge.
Yeah, that's really cool. So you mentioned there that you've always been kind of passionate about the ocean. So has it always played such a significant role in your life?
It has. And I think I remember back to throwing it back to when I was about 8 years old. I was always walking around saying, I'm going to be a marine biologist. And that's before I realized how shocking I was at biology. So I had to stick to economics. But my gran gave me a book on understanding the sea and the ocean, you know, and all. It's just lovely, like picture book. And I just decided at that time I was going to save the sea by not eating the sea. So I stopped eating seafood, which my poor parents then had to live with a little vegetarian. But I guess it then spilled over into understanding I was an environmentalist at heart. It came from, just a deep wanting to understand this beautiful world beneath the ocean surface. So it's been a lovely part of a lot of my life. So passion in, you know, dietary choices as well as career. So it's a big part of my life.
Oh, that's so lovely. That's I imagine quite a few of us here at NOC feel the same way.
Yeah.
So you are actually currently the only marine economist that we have at NOC. So how do you find working here in general and working with lots of kind of hardcore oceanographers? Do you think you're in the right place for your research?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. And I reflected on this quite a lot recently, coming up to, it's almost, I think, yeah, 3.5 years here. And I think it's been the best challenge of my career, and also I'd say life so far, in the sense it's really pushed me out of my comfort zone for many reasons. But I think it also helped being an early career researcher and like bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and like just ready for the challenge. And it initially was really, I remember it being very overwhelming, and sitting in our first meeting and you know, hearing all of these wild and wonderful acronyms and being like, yeah, we need to include SST in this, and then quickly googling what is SST. Sea surface temperature, I knew that. Hope my boss doesn't hear this. But yeah, it really did help me, I think, put me right into the deep end of understanding. When you work in interdisciplinary research, I think a lot of the time we see institutions or organizations specializing separately, which obviously has its pros too, and then sort of outsourcing, you know, the different skills and working on projects, which of course is also a very viable model. But it has been such a good challenge for me as an economist to sit in a room with people who speak a completely different language. And it has taught me to just ask those, what you would assume to be silly questions, and just be like, hey, sorry guys, do you mind just explaining that terminology and why you do this kind of research? And I feel that's what it's been so powerful. It's still, you know, it's taking its time to get there, but understanding those links where we can really start building powerful research that's genuinely connected from the start, instead of siloed approaches to, well, let's do the economics of this problem, let's do the oceanography of this problem. How do we really join forces? And I think we've had these discussions personally over a glass of wine about like understanding the difference in the terminology and how that can be like gatekeeping in a way to research that is really integrated. But overall, I think it is definitely the right place for me in this part of my career, and moving forward, it's been a wonderful challenge.
Good, because we want to keep you here. I certainly do anyway. I have learned so much just working with you. And as you say, you had to learn all of our funky abbreviations and terminology. And I've had to also learn your abbreviations and your terminology. But it's been a really good kind of lesson, I think, for many oceanographers here, just in terms of understanding how important it is to communicate our research, even with our colleagues who might not be specifically in our field. So
Yeah,
I think that's been, it's been a good journey. We're getting there. I feel like we know each other's abbreviations now.
Exactly.
I guess on that, let's turn to your research. So I'm conscious that this is a topic of a much kind of wider question, but could you talk to us about, or just kind of give us an overview of your research and the work that you've done at NOC so far?
Yeah, and I'm actually realizing it's such a good question also to practice exactly what we've just been talking about being mindful of jargon. So I'm going to avoid using any very economic description of this. And basically, if I had to give a quite a simple overview, it's just about understanding how economies and communities are reliant on the ocean. So, you know, for example, how reliant we are on fish as a food source, as well as how reliant we are on the fishing industry to generate income. So how much our government relies on that, you know, sending fish out of the country, bringing fish in, how are we generating money, how are we creating jobs from that? So it's a very, you know, how essentially ocean resources, as in like the fish or oil and gas, all that complicated industry, how that is impacting our day-to-day lives within countries. And I think what's really important and interesting is seeing how we now look at ocean health and wealth is changing with climate change and, you know, everything else going on. So it's about understanding, okay, we see how communities and economies depend on the ocean. The ocean's changing. So how can we help governments mitigate that risk and say, well, we know this community really depends on that area of the ocean for this specific type of fish. So if that fish disappears, what does that mean? Who's impacted? And how can we potentially, you know, create policy that will lessen that kind of negative impact with the ocean changing as much as it is?
Yeah.
So that's it in a nutshell, and hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so important at the moment, kind of all research is kind of heading towards, for us especially, what's going to happen with climate change and trying to understand how these resources are going to be impacted, because that's going to be huge. It's going to be a huge kind of societal challenge.
Exactly.
It already is, and let alone what's going to happen in future. So I worked with you on a project called Solstice.
Yes.
Can you maybe give us some kind of specific example about something you some kind of, or one of your papers or something you worked on specifically, just to give our listeners kind of an idea of the more kind of specific research that you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So the most, the final paper within that research project Solstice was looking at specifically the fishing communities and how they're connected to the marine resources, as in the type of fish that they were catching and what purpose they were using that fish for. So food security is just understanding how people, what kind of food is being consumed and depended on, and how that food is then sold and generates income. So we did a study on looking at specifically what type of species of fish were most important for what fishes, and especially small scale fisheries. So that was a really important part of my research within Solstice, was understanding that there's artisanal fishes who are overlooked in a lot of economic data that's captured in, you know, like on a national scale, and more easily accessible data as economists, what data we access for research. It's a lot of smaller scale fishes are not represented enough in that data, and then research can just not include them, which is terrible, because they potentially are at the forefront of these impacts with the ocean changing as much as it is.
And this is incredibly important, because this particular research was in Tanzania, where these kind of small scale fisheries are incredibly important, right?
Yeah.
But you're also doing a couple of projects now kind of more UK based, so it's also important everywhere. It's not just kind of looking at the kind of smaller scale fisheries.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a really good point, and something I do as part of the research I want to look at moving forward, is understanding that the world is so connected, right? And so in your world of research, it's been so beautiful to have my eyes opened to how everything's so connected. So, you know, we talk about, I've learned so much about connectivity, ocean connectivity from you, and understanding, I think from an economics perspective and the way that we're trained, it's so like territorial in a way. You've got your country, and then you've got your, you know, your EEZ, which is essentially the part of the ocean that you have your rights, you own as a country, and you can govern in the way that you would like to. And it's really been such a great change of perspective for me to understand that you know, the ocean is constantly moving throughout those jurisdictions. You don't actually, you can't say this fish is mine, it's going to stay here forever. So trying to look forward and understanding, you know, research done in UK is going to impact countries in Africa, because UK and EU are importing fish from Tanzania. And Tanzania, most of their fish is actually exported to the like global north. So it's also interconnected, and I think it's important to understand those specific trade links and what that means.
Absolutely. So where do you see your research kind of going in future? I bet you have plenty of ideas as to what you want to do over the coming years.
I think I do also really want to be part of this new way of thinking of integrating models. So looking at how policymakers will often need tools to make decisions. So how to look at the trade-off. So if you're going to decide to build a harbour, where do you build that harbour? And if you're going to build in a specific area, what communities are going to be impacted positively or negatively? So in understanding that, I want to be part of the move of economists that are saying we can't just use economic models that look at only the monetary value of these kind of decisions. So models that can incorporate environmental data, that can represent smaller parts of society that's potentially overlooked, because, you know, there's maybe not like a monetary value attached to the historical or heritage cultural value of that area of an ocean space. So I will get back to you when I have a specific name.
We'll invite you back.
For my new job title. But essentially, it's just, a more holistic approach to these problems instead of just there's the dollar sign.
I think that's brilliant. That's the way that kind of all research is moving into in general, I think. So that's really good. So just out of interest, did you change any of your or your family's kind of habits as a result of your research?
I think it has been quite interesting just becoming more aware of, I don't have fish on my plate, obviously, but my family has become a lot more aware of, you know, where is this fish from? And specifically in South Africa, it's quite interesting. And part of our Solstice research was looking at the chaka squid industry. And realizing that most of that squid is exported to Europe. And then we import like, you know, a different grade of squid back into South Africa. And I think that level crazy, of awareness. Yeah, it's so strange. It's just like global food equation. Food just moving constantly around. But it's been really great to see how there's just a new level of consciousness and asking those kind of questions.
No, absolutely. And finally then, just a word of advice for anyone that's listening, that is aspiring, to become an environmental or marine economist.
I think I would say don't be afraid to work with scientists that are not economists.
We're not that scary.
Exactly. Look how cute you are. But yeah, so I think especially if you are interested in moving into looking at problems holistically, it's a really important and valuable lesson to sit alongside those people that think differently and ask those questions that you may think are silly. I think it has, it's helped. I know it has helped me a lot with my career, and I think that would be the most valuable lesson to share.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Zoe.